Praise the Lord. How many are still reading or praying the prayer on Ephesians chapter 1 that distributed a few weeks ago? One hand, two hands, three hands. Okay, a few are doing it. Good. Good. That is important to do because really, and should be done not just reading and not thinking of what the words are saying. You have to be thinking what the words are actually saying in such a way that you are getting something out of it. It's not just the sound. It's what's going on inside you that makes a difference. Okay, so we had to focus on that. We had to be receiving what those words are saying. Hallelujah. You know, the impact, the change, there is talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is what we need to receive. And what we have been talking about on prayer, you know, the old approach to prayer, I hope is starting to do some work in you, starting to give you some understanding about how to go about, how to make your prayer effective. Not just the time you're there and making noise without any impact and any results. You want it to work. You want it to produce some results. You want it to make some changes inside you. And you want it to give you some experience on that area and those things that to make your prayer different from what it was before. That's what I've been praying about. That's what I'm believing for. And I want to, by the end of this series, you know, that you realize that a change took place and that you are now at a different place in praying, in getting results, in achieving the things that the Lord wants to do through what the time you're spending doing that. You know, prayer is not just a physical activity. It's a spiritual activity. That's why we've been talking about, you know, the title of the series is, The Mystery of Prayer. Okay, it's something that we had to discover. It's not just something in our mind. It's that we had to discover it in our spirit. Our spirit has to be able to connect with God. And when you achieve that, then you are doing something that should change you, that should empower you. Amen. So we're going to continue on that. Let's open up in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you are not far away. And that, Lord, as we come to you and we come into your presence, Lord, we are changed. Something, Lord, happens to us. You, Lord, transfer to us the things that we can receive, the things that we are seeking to receive. And we just thank you for that, because that transformation empowers us to be able to do and achieve the purposes that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. 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 So we're going to continue then on that topic. You know, Jesus taught quite a bit about prayer, and from different aspects, different point of view. But the teaching were concise, and you had to, from what the word says, You have to receive and understand what the spiritual implications are for what he said. So we just start with the point, you know, the basic idea, the basic concept that you have to start with is that from John 4:23 and 24. It says, but those, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, not just in repeating stuff without knowing what they're doing. Your heart, your spirit has to be involved in the process. And so we have to really understand and connect with the idea of worshiping, and it's not just worshiping, it's connecting with him, it's relating to him, it's receiving from him. Okay, what the in spirit and in truth means, and how to actually make it happen for us. Because it's a part that we play, and it's not him in that case. He is actually wanting us to make that effort to get into that place in which we are operating in spirit and in truth. So let's see some other scripture that he gave us. And we saw already one, and just by talking about that took us quite a few weeks. So we go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, and not just there, but anywhere, and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So you see, one of the things that, you know, is not putting up a show, is not the great words that you use, is not the, you know, the great praying formula that you have. It's not the oratorical or, you know, the diction or whatever. You know, it's not the show that he's dealing with when he's talking about the spirit and the truth. Okay. And whenever we make to do and put in those other things, we just miss the point. We just miss what we are going to try to get. Actually, we are getting just what we are trying to get: people's attention. And people's attention is not the purpose for prayer. It's to get God's attention. Amen. And you can fool God by me putting up a show. And so this is very clear to us understanding, you know, the level in which we should be praying. Our concern, what we are considering, is not the show that we put up. Sometimes just a word is more effective than a big, flowery message, when the word is really meant with the heart and is true. I mean, we are true to what we are saying. Let me continue, because you see, this is, you know, really what you're talking about here is what are you trying to get, instead of what are you showing off? What is your intention? You need to mean business with God, not with the people around. Not with, you see, this is why sometimes just praying in your closet eliminate the influence of people around. But you know, sometimes you can fool yourself even in your closet and put up a show to yourself to show how spiritual you are. So it's not the location. You have to go back to where it's inside you that you're really meaning the right thing. And you are in spirit and in truth. See, these are all aspects of the spirit and truth that is there. Let's continue. You know, after that, there is, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And this is what we already discussed quite a bit. So I'm not going to go into that, and I'm going to skip to the next verse. So verse 7, Matthew 6, verse 7. And when you pray, don't use vain repetition. The word repetition there, or vain repetition, is like blabber or just stutter, just say things. You know, some people just don't, you know, speak so quickly, you know, just because they learn some prayer and they think they're praying when they do that, because they make some noise and they spend some time blubbering. You're wasting your time. Okay. Okay. As the Edens, you see, he talks about the Edens do that. That means it's somebody that doesn't have a relationship with God. Because if they would have a relationship with God, they wouldn't be doing that. Okay. For they think that with their way, that they will be heard by the many words. So the many words you can put more in a minute, the better it is. You have to pay attention to what you're doing. You have to be focused on what's going on. You have to know what's happening. You have to have a purpose and communicate that purpose like you would communicate to somebody that is in front of you, because that somebody, God, is in front of you. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not be like, verse 8, like them. For your Father knows the things that you need for before you ask them for. Okay, so essentially saying, you know, just be real. Instead of playing games. Instead of putting up shows. Instead of fooling yourself. If you mean business, do the business. Okay? Because you are talking to somebody that can see you through your prayed. Amen? Okay. So when you pray, just pray, and you have to really know what you're doing, and you have to have the right purposes. Now, or the right intention. How really, you know, your attitude is the key. Your attitude reflects what your position and your heart. So your attitude is what you have to be looking at yourself to determine where are you going. Okay. Now, I'm going to take a scripture from Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6. That says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, which is God, for he who comes to God must believe, number one, that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there are two things that are going to be pleasing God. Number one, that we believe that he is, and number two, that we expect him to be a rewarder if we diligently seek him. So, how we can, number one is, that's the only way to please Him. Okay? Please. The only way to please God is our faith, when we believe those two things. Okay? That means our trust, our believing Him, and so on. Okay? Now, the fact is, you know, the fact that He's pleased, what does it mean He's pleased for us? The meaning is simply the fact that when somebody is pleased, he's going to respond to you in a positive way. If he, you know, is pleased with us, he's going to respond to our prayer in a positive way. If he's not pleased, he's going to turn in the other side and say goodbye. Okay. When we do the other things, we are not pleasing him. But when we approach him, believing it he is, He's right there. and believing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, then he's going to respond. As we give him attention, he gives attention to us. We're going to see many more scripture, but this is a starting point for today. See, you want to see how much faith you have. See how diligent you are in seeking him. Because if you, that's the basis of your response. Because when you believe that diligently, is seeking produces a response that he has, you're going to seek him diligently. But if you don't believe it, then you are not going to spend much time diligently seeking him. So one of the first things, that we had to settle for ourselves is the fact that are we believing he is? And are we believing that he diligently, if we diligently seek him, he's going to reward us? That's something that we had to remind ourselves. Something that we had to keep, we forget, we get distracted. The world is around us, bombarding us with ideas, with things. We had to deal with that bombardment. We had to deal with that distraction, because if we are not focused on him, we are not going to be focused on something else. And the other things are going to be a hindrance to our relationship with him. So he has to be the center of our life. That doesn't mean that we just do nothing. It just means that he's guiding us and empowering us and enabling us to do the things that we need to do to be able to have a life, because he has a plan for us. Each one of us, he has a plan for each one of us. And each plan is different, because he has much more imagination than we do. And he knows why he made us. Even before we were created, from the beginning of time, he knows us. We had to find ourselves. We had to find our purpose. And unless we seek to find it, we are not going to find it, We are going to be distracted and going to waste our life. We had to learn to seek his face, to be able to know what we are called for, because only then we are going to fulfill our destiny. This is another sermon, so I'm going to just cut that off now. Are you following me?
Yes.
But prayer is the place in which we get revelation, understanding. We get, Lord, the ability to know things, because he transfer it to us. He knows all things. Hallelujah. So that we start, that's the place we start today. Hallelujah. See? One of the things for us to have faith. See, faith is trusting. Trusting what? Trusting for what? That's the thing. And we have to understand that to have faith, that means you have to know what we should believe for. We have to know what the things that we should believe for, and so, we can put our trust in those things. And the basis for that is to know the way God thinks. We have to know his will. And some people say, who can know his will? Well, if he cannot know his will, then we are lost already. The idea is that we can know his will if we connect with him and if we receive from him. If we are connected with him, we will know his will and we can do his will. Otherwise, we cannot do his will and we cannot please him and we cannot have faith. So the basis of our relationship with him is what he said, and that means his word. And his word is really the Bible. Now there is even more, because he's going to communicate some stuff to us on a personal basis that is not necessarily clearly addressed in the Bible. And in this case, he will talk to us personally. This is the Rhema word of God that is going to be spoken to us to give us specific direction. Hallelujah. This is what, but when we know his will, you know, sometimes, we need specific direction. And when we get a specific direction, we may have even problem believing it, because sometimes it's too far away, too far-fetched, too big for us to receive it. And we have to learn to be obedient, because that's the time when he's going to be able to bless us. See, that's the time when he gives us a specific direction. This is when we have the real breakthroughs. Because he wants obedience more than anything else. And the fact that he wants obedience is not because of the fact that he wants to control us. He wants us to be obedient voluntarily. See, our heart, our desire to do what his will is, makes all the difference, because he's going to produce blessing beyond our imagination. See, every time that we do something that is really according to his will, and we do it because we are willing to obey, because we trust in him, and we want to do the things that he called us to do, you know, the results of that is that the blessing are going to be beyond what we, you know, they're coming, you know, we are not going to go after the blessing are going to come after us. We can see back in history with the Jews and Israel all the time. This is what was taking place. Praise the Lord. See, our attitude makes all the difference, you know. And this is part of our attitude, as you can see. See, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says clearly, now this is the confidence that we have in him. See, that's our trust, our faith. That if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Hallelujah. I think we should say that just as a reminder for ourselves. If we ask anything,
anything,
according to his will,
he will hear us.
Hallelujah. See, well, we have to be convinced of that. It's not that difficult to know his will. You know, when we know his will, it's because we are confused, because we don't want to hear it. Because we have our own agenda. And we have to instead allow him, his will, to be done in our life. And it's the best things can happen to us. So the following verse says, and we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. But, you know, if we ask according to his will, doesn't take much to really believe that he's going to do it, because that's what he wants to do. Hello? So that's what has to happen. That we start lining up ourselves with him so that he can bless us, because he made us for that purpose. See, he made us so that we might fulfill the plan that he has for us, the why he built us in a certain way, why he made us the way we are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the fact, you see, and so this is why we have to be so connected within ourselves to determine our attitude and our position, internal position, all the time, to know where we are. And because that is our attitude is the reflection of our heart and our spirit. You know, sometimes we say, I don't know what I don't know what my spirit is. Look at what the way you are. Look at your attitude right now. I will know where you are. Because your attitude is a reflection of what's going on inside you. You know, many calls God when they're in trouble. You know, when the natural things don't go the way they want it. Okay. And the reason why they do that is not because of faith. Because some people call God without faith at all. It's just because we are wired that way. See, they call and they didn't expect anything, but they just call because there is an inner tendency to do that. We were made to do that. Now, when that is lined up, instead, when we are lined up with God and we call upon Him, it's a different thing. It's a different story. Our faith is operating in that direction so that we can actually expect the results to come, not because we are just desperate and we have to do something or we need help, but really don't believe that we're going to get it. Faith is trust. And trust doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you cannot trust somebody that you don't have a relationship with. If you do, you're going to be in trouble very soon, very quickly. You're going to be in trust with somebody that you have a relationship, that you know, and that you have grown in that relationship with. And the more you grow in that relationship, the more trust you can put in a person. Otherwise, Jesus said, you know, I trust no man. Praise the Lord. But you can certainly trust God because God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the faith starts and is developing, growing, and is going to affect your prayer life and your life as you really develop, you know, this idea and that relationship. You have faith developing inside you. See, your faith and your prayer are connected. They are not two different things. They have to be lined up one with the other to be productive, to be effective. See, how do you have effective prayer? You do the prayer of faith. And your prayer of faith is not a formula. It's a reality. It's a truth that is inside you because you have faith there because you believe that God is and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And you know it because not somebody told you. Not because they got it last Sunday at the service. It's because you experienced that. Amen. Because you found that out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So you know that all things are possible with God. God is not just you know that God is. You know that all things are possible with Him. He's beyond anything physical. And you know that He loves you because He sent Jesus to die for you. And so that love is beyond even life. Hallelujah. He's a loving Father. And we talked about, you know, Abba Father, you know, you go to Him like daddy because that's the relationship you have. All right. So let's see the way prayer. Yeah, good. Changes thing. Our prayer, you know, has an effect on you. See, and I pray that you listen carefully because you need revelation to really not just go on the word that I'm going to be saying, but you have to really go beyond the words to see the impact that has on you when you pray. And we start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Says, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, faith believes in things that are not seen. Now, you have to believe the right things that are not seen, because there are lots of things that are fruit of your imagination, or other things that are really not something to believe in anyway. What we are talking about is really talking about God's, what He says, and His promises, and His direction, and His word, and His will. Okay, but it's saying here that what we are doing is looking at the things that are not seen. Okay, so that's the way we are operating. See, we believe in the unseen God. All right? We believe in this unseen God that is able to do anything. So if we really believe in this unseen God that is able to do anything, we expect anything to happen. So you see, when we start operating in faith, what happens is that our perspective about things has to change. We are not going to anymore have a perspective that is a physical perspective. See, the physical things, the things that are seen, they are not eternal, but they are temporary. So any physical things is temporary, is going to pass. You can go through a difficult time. You can have some problem. You can have struggling with something financially, physically, mentally, whatever. This is just temporary. God is eternal. And He can do all things. So when you start looking at from that perspective, you see, automatically you are elevated from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. See, that's what should happen. You see, one of the results of your prayer, when you pray in the right way, when you pray in faith, your perspective about life should change. That's the first element, first change that should take place. The way you look at things, the way you feel about things, the way what you expect has to change and move from the physical down up to the spiritual level, so that actually you are looking at things that you can't see, but you believe more than the things that you see. Because the things that are not visible are eternal. God can do all things, no matter what anybody says. See, faith goes beyond the natural to enter in the spirit world. Okay? And in that dimension, you are in a completely different space. You have completely different expectations. Things that are impossible. Jesus said it. You know, let me see, take the scripture here. Okay. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 says, so then he said to them, Jesus talked to the disciple, when you pray, say, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the will in heaven is not the mess that we have down here.
Amen. Yes.
See, what you are doing by believing, by having faith, you are bringing down from heaven the kingdom of God. Are you following? So what happens is you're really taking the spiritual dimension and bringing it down here, and you start believing for that to be so.
Amen.
See, that's the way you get miracles. Okay, you don't get miracles by looking at the physical thing, because that's the only thing that you're going to get. But when you start believing what God said, which is His will, and you bring it down on earth, because you start seeing things from that perspective, from God's perspective. And those things start to happen. We're going to see more of that. We're just beginning here. Are you following me?
Yes.
See, the spirit dimension, I want to just listen to that. I want to just to make sure that you hear it. You know, the spirit dimension is not limited or bound by matter, space, or time. I think we should say it together because this is a critical. See, there are lots of people that have problem in connecting with some scripture because they are limited by matter, space, and time. When God is not limited by matter, space, and time. So the very moment when you move out of the physical dimension in prayer, and you make connection with God, and you start seeing things the way He sees them, and you start accepting what He says, and you start following what He says, you start obeying what He says, the thing is what happens, you know, that breaking those limitations and bondages to the physical, to the mental, to the all these other things, you know, spirit is infinite, always now. There is no space difference. You can pray here, somebody gets healed in Toronto.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay? There is no time. I mean, you can pray now, and by Jesus' stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. Are you following me? So this is why it is so important to understand. You know, otherwise we put limit on God. Okay. Praise the Lord. I think we should repeat that because that's such an important concept that we have to assimilate and receive. Okay. The spirit dimension is not limited by matter, space, or time. Amen?
Amen?
So that's why, you know, this very soon, as soon as you accept that principle, you are free. You are free to believe. You are free to see God operating the way He wants. You are free to be able to receive from Him things that don't make any sense. You see, your reason has to be override, you know, you have to override your reason. Because God is beyond your logic. It's not that you should be irrational. I'm not saying that. But God's ways are beyond your logic. Because from a logical point of view, a miracle cannot happen. But with God's point of view, miracles is what happen all the time. Okay. Hallelujah. So when we start exercising faith, what we should experience, you know, that the bondages of matter, space, and time are going to be removed from our life. Hallelujah. You know, our logic has a problem accepting that. But you don't know everything. That's right. Hallelujah. So that's what you do. When you pray, you know, your will become done on earth as it is in heaven. So you expect that the things that happen in heaven should be able, or the things that are in heaven should be able to be manifested down here. In heaven, nobody's sick. Hallelujah. All right? So you should expect that healing or deliverance or freedom comes. Hallelujah. It doesn't come because just God is going to do it. It comes according to His way, which actually uses us to make it happen. Hallelujah. See, when you pray, by default, you acknowledge God's presence, you acknowledge God's existence, you acknowledge God rewarding those who diligently seek Him, you acknowledge the fact that if you seek Him, you're going to get the answer, because if you line up with the Word of God, period. Are you following me? So you see, but that's what you had to do when you start praying. You had to start realizing that that's what actually your intention should be, what actually you are thinking, what actually you are setting up yourself for, what your position is. But the more conscious you are of that, see, and the more you can line up with it. Otherwise, there is a disconnect between what you are doing and what actually the intention of what you are doing is, according to Him. Do you think that's going to help you? You know, it's all a question of perspective. I said one of the things that happen when you start praying is your perspective about everything should change. Why? Because for up to that moment, you were looking at the physical thing, the world around you. From that moment on, you start thinking about the way God thinks, and you start allowing His thoughts and His ideas and His will to become part of your thinking so that it changes everything you see. Hallelujah. See, this is what actually the Word says. I'm not saying anything. I'm just pulling out what is there. Okay? But, you know, you had to get the revelation of the truth of what I'm saying. And I'm hoping by splitting, by getting into the explanation of what I'm saying, you are going to be able to grasp what I'm saying, because if you grasp what I'm saying, you are going to be able to get results that you never got before. Amen. Hallelujah. See, one of the things, for example, Jesus Himself, you know, when we read that before, when He was in Gethsemane, the way He prayed, you know, Abba Father. So Daddy, I mean, the relationship with Him that He had, you know, was a close relationship. Daddy, you know, all things are possible. That's how it was, you know, does God know that all things are possible with Him? Absolutely. I mean, don't need to remind Him about that. But He was reminding Himself that all things are possible for Him. So you see, that's what when we pray, before we open our mouth, before we even think about it, God knows everything already. Amen. We pray so that we could become conscious in our thoughts of what He knows. And so we bring, you know, He was bringing to Him, He was going through a difficult time there. He was facing separation from the Father, which was probably much worse than being crucified. Okay, so the idea is He was had to get to the place in which He could see things from a different perspective. Even from a spiritual point of view, He knew that was going to happen, but He needed that extra help to be able to cope from a human point of view, because He was limited to be a human, you know, to be able to cope with that idea of separation that was the most awful things that could have happened to Him. And so He reminds Himself, all things are possible for you. He says, take this cup if it's possible. He knew that it wouldn't be. That was the purpose. And He said, but your will be done. Okay. As you pray, what you do, you focus on God. You focus on Him. What He can do, His natural attributes, the physical attributes are losing power, and what becomes important are the spiritual and attribute that He has and the way He operates. So that's why, you know, the first things you do when you start praying is not to go and ask for what you want. See, as soon as you ask for what you want, you are focusing on the problem. And what most people do, spend lots of time, please, please, begging and things, that doesn't get you anywhere. What you have to focus on is in Him. So that He becomes real to you. More real than the problems you have. Then when He is real to you, don't even have going to ask anything because, you know, there's no big deal anymore. See, that's the thing that has to happen, that we is the fact that He's real, the fact that He's there, the fact that He's operating in you, the fact that you believe in what He's rewarded is enough to set you free. So that instead of spending the whole time begging and asking and, you know, just the thing you do is to worship Him. He dwells in the presence of His people, so you know you're just there in His presence, the presence of His power, and the presence of His ability, the presence of what He can do for you. We have to get out of our skin and get into our spirit. Hallelujah. Are you still there?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's so easy to limit God. That's what we do all the time. You know, Israel did the same when they came out of Egypt, you know, all the time. You know, if you read in Psalm 78, verse 31, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they do that? They did not remember His power. The day when He redeemed them from the enemy. So you see, they forgot. We forget. Why? Because we get distracted by the physical things that affect us. And when you are in pain, when you have a problem, a physical problem, that gets your attention. When you get in the presence of God, see, that's where you have to have your attention if you want that to change. Hallelujah. All things are possible with Him. Don't limit God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said it many times. You know, Matthew 10:27, Jesus looked and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. I mean, that's not the only places. You know, everywhere He says that. You know, the father of the epileptic boy, you know, said to Jesus, you know, have my unbelief. And that's what He answered. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, thing is not that if you can believe, we can believe because that's what He was expecting. Okay. Hallelujah. So this is the breakthrough that we can expect when we go before God, when we start praying. Breakthrough beyond the physical reality. Beyond matter, space, and time. Hallelujah. So, I think time is run out. You get anything today?
Yes.
Okay. See, that has to come to a place of revelation, has to become a reality inside your belly. Okay? Now, next week we are going to taking the steps through a prayer. The steps in prayer in which we are going to move from one space to another until we have got to the place where God wants us to be. Okay, so it takes always longer than what I planned to do it, but that's fine. Are you following me?
Yes.
Are we together yet?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I think we should have a confession here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, confessing has to be not just the word that we say. See, confession is a prayer. It's a statement of where we are. Okay? So it's a prayer that doesn't You know, the prayer that is done without faith produces nothing. You have to believe that you believe, and then it's going to be, you're going to speak it. Okay? So thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can come to you with anything, because you are greater than anything. All things are possible for you. And I believe it. And I receive that. All things are possible with you. And so all things are possible to them that believe. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. I am a believer. And I believe that you are. And you are a rewarder for those who diligently seek you. And I will seek you diligently. And I will receive. And I will appropriate everything that you make available to me. I thank you in advance. And I give you all the praises and glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.